The reading is Luke 6, verses 43 to 49. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation and rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck at the house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete.
Thanks so much, Paulette, for reading those words of Jesus. Words at the heart of Jesus' message. And so if you come here regularly, you'll know that I'm going through the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and focusing on the fact that Jesus is for everyone, praise God. And today, or last time I spoke from Luke, I was talking about radical attitudes, which some of us struggle with a bit. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Don't be a hypocrite. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Today, I'm looking at these last few verses, and I'm asking, or where Jesus asks the fundamental question, what are you building your life on? What are you building your life on? And Jesus speaks this famous parable of the wise and foolish builders, a parable loved by children and Sunday school teachers for centuries. Many of us have sung songs about this parable, haven't we? The wise man built his house upon the rock, all the rest of it. But this parable is not really for children. Because Jesus is actually speaking very strong words. They're hard-hitting words. They are challenging words from Jesus. A large crowd was following Jesus at this time. They were loving what Jesus was saying. They were loving his teaching. They were loving the miracles that they saw him doing. And they were calling him, Lord, Lord, this is great. And then Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And he then tells them this famous parable. And Jesus' question is a big question. It's a big challenge to each one of us today. Do you call yourself a Christian? Do you call Jesus Lord? Do you like coming to church and joining the worship? Perhaps you even enjoy listening to the sermon. Unlikely, but possible that you might enjoy that. But all that's great, but you know, it means nothing unless we are doing what Jesus says. This is what Jesus says here. Unless we are obeying Jesus' teaching. Unless you are his disciple. Unless, as he says elsewhere, you are denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Jesus. See, Jesus, when he gives these words, is not speaking to atheists. He's not speaking to people who have no interest in him. He's speaking to people, the crowd that are following him. The crowd that are calling him Lord, Lord, but they're not doing what he says. They're not obeying Jesus' teaching. They're not living out their Christian lives. And you see in Jesus' ministry that Jesus didn't have a problem, did he, dealing with big sinners. He didn't have a problem dealing with the unrighteous. He didn't have a problem dealing with the ungodly or the prostitute or the tax collectors of those days. But he did have a bit of a problem with the people who followed him, who proclaimed him as Lord, but didn't live it out in their lives. And you know, the biggest problem for church leaders today is not necessarily the big sinners outside of the church. Not necessarily that. It's not necessarily the addicts or the atheists or the people of other faiths. Yes, they need Jesus. But the biggest problem for pastors and church leaders generally are people in the church. People who are associated to the church. Those who proclaim that they are Christians. Those who say, Lord, Lord, but do not do what Jesus says. Do not do what Jesus teaches. Do not do what Jesus models to us. And sadly, and I'm sad to have to say this, but sometimes the biggest problem in the church are the pastors and the leaders themselves. Because they are calling Jesus Lord, Lord, but not doing what he says, not doing what he teaches, not doing what he models. And we need to be aware of that, don't we? Because sadly, it is those who are in the church who tend to be the greatest barrier to those outside of the church finding Jesus. Often it is those inside the church who put off those outside of the church because they are not reflecting Jesus. They're not obeying Jesus. They're not modeling the unconditional love of Jesus to those outside of the church. Jesus tells us in this parable, it's not just the big sinners and the atheists who are building on sand without foundation. It's those who are calling Jesus Lord, Lord, but not actually putting into practice what he says. The two builders in this parable are almost identical. They're both building a house. They're both building their lives. The house symbolizes their lives. They're both building this house. They're both building their lives. They appear to be building probably a very similar house. Jesus, as a carpenter, would have been familiar with house building. It wasn't the day of grand designs. Most houses look pretty much the same. And so they were probably building a very similar house. It may even have been next door to one another because we know that it was in the same vicinity because the torrents affected both houses. So they're building a house. They have both heard Jesus' words. They've both listened to Jesus' teaching. They had seen Jesus at work. The only significant difference between these two builders is one heard Jesus' words and put them into practice, and the other heard Jesus' words but didn't put them into practice. That's the only fundamental difference between the two builders. That's amazing, isn't it? The different consequences that came upon the foolish builder and his house all resulted from that one single difference. He didn't put Jesus' words into practice. He didn't follow and obey Jesus. He lived life his way rather than Jesus' way. It matters how you live. It matters how you live. It matters what you do with Jesus' teaching. Jesus himself says that. It matters that you are a true disciple of Jesus, not just a pew filler on a Sunday. Jesus said, anyone who wants to follow after me must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. That sounds like sacrifice, doesn't it? And most of us don't like denial. In fact, you're a strange person if you like self-denial. So Jesus is calling us to a radical life of self-denial to follow and obey Jesus Christ. Jesus is looking for disciples who will put his word into practice in their lives. Real Christians who have surrendered their lives to Jesus, who live out their Christian life 24/7 to the honor and glory of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The wise builder, we heard, heard Jesus' words and put them into practice. He digs down deep and laid the foundation on the rock, praise God. The foundations of his house, the foundations of his life were based on the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. He lived out his life based on those teachings and practices of Jesus. The floods and torrents still struck the wise man's house and life, we're told that. But they could not shake or destroy him or his house because he had dug down deep into the words of Jesus and he had built his life upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And you know, Jesus wants each one of us here today to build our lives on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, because we shall not be shaken. Not just to be hearers of Jesus' word, but doers of Jesus' word. Not just calling Jesus Lord, Lord, but by putting his words into practice in our lives. And so the question is what foundation are you building on? Many years ago, in our first youth group, we had a very enthusiastic young man from a fairly dysfunctional, non-Christian home. And he made a commitment to follow Jesus. And he was passionate about worship. You know, he loved to sing and he loved to dance and he loved to praise the Lord in the Sunday services. He'd raise his hands even when the older people in that church didn't really approve of that. And you know, he would speak out in tongues and he would pray out in the services. And it was wonderful, you know, this young man, really enthusiastic for the Lord. The problem was he didn't behave like a Christian for the rest of the week. He often got into trouble. Sometimes we'd get a phone call on a Friday or Saturday night to go out and collect him because he was too drunk to get home. But then on a Sunday, he'd be there praising the Lord and worshipping the Lord. And eventually, sadly, he got a young girl pregnant. And so he was enthusiastically calling Jesus Lord, Lord. He was enthusiastically worshipping Jesus. He was even using spiritual gifts. But he wasn't doing what Jesus said. He wasn't living out his faith. He was building his life on sand. Wonderfully, he responded to church discipline. Against all our expectations, he repented of his sin. Praise God. He began to dig deep into God's word. Dig deep into the word of God. He began to put into practice the teachings of Jesus and the words of Jesus in his life. And he began to build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And today, he is still a strong Christian, going on with God. Praise the Lord. You see, we can call Jesus, Lord, Lord. We can go to church. We can worship Jesus. Everyone can think that we're a wonderful Christian, but all the time be building our life on something else other than the words and the teachings of Jesus. There are so many other things that we can build our lives on, isn't there? We can build our lives on our family. Lots of us build our lives on our family, on our career. And career becomes all important. Education. Never worked that one out myself. I was very glad when I finished my degree. And Trish never wanted to study, go further on. You know, the pursuit of money. We can chase after that and build our lives on money. Sport. Amazing. You know, the worship that goes on at Sheffield Wednesday and Sheffield United is incredible, isn't it? There are more people down there than there are in church on a Sunday morning. Worshipping, building your life on sport. You know, and even we have the situation where, you know, people when they die, they have their coffins in the colours of their football team because that's who they worshipped. That was what they were building their life upon. We can build our life on our own ideas. It's quite incredible the number of people who try to tell me what the Bible says. They're not Christians. They don't go to church, but they're sure they know what Jesus and the Bible says. They've never read it. But, you know, it's amazing. We can build our lives on our own ideas, our own philosophies, our own theology. Well, I think Jesus was this, or I think God was that. But they don't actually base it on the teaching of Jesus. They don't actually base it on the Word of God. And what Jesus is saying, it will all come crashing down when the raging torrents come. You see, the signature tune, as you know, the signature tune of hell is, I did it my way. But the signature tune of heaven is, I did it Jesus' way. Amen. I did it Jesus' way. I heard, I obeyed, I put into practice the words of Jesus. You know, we will all face the torrents Jesus speaks about. The floods and the torrents that come against both builders and their houses. They could represent the storms of life that we all face at times in our lives. The storms of stress, suffering, ill health, bereavement, unemployment, so many different stresses, debt, disappointment, relationship breakdown, temptations, doubts, satanic attacks, all those things we can face, and they could be the torrents. And it's vital that our lives have a strong foundation in Jesus and the Word of God if we're to remain standing strong through the most difficult and challenging circumstances we sometimes face. But most commentators would say the torrents that come against both houses and both builders actually represents the end times. It represents God's final judgment. Jesus, in the Bible, the imagery of rising torrents and floods and disaster and walls crashing down is used to describe God's judgment. Jesus doesn't say if the torrents and floods come against your house and against your life. He says when. It is inevitable. They will certainly come. And the Bible is clear. God's final judgment day is coming, folks. We have to recognize that. We will all face God's judgment. None of us are exempt. That's what the Bible teaches. We don't like talking about it. We don't even like talking about it and preaching about it in church. But it's what the Bible says. God's final judgment will come. We will all face God's judgments. Did you know that you will face God's final judgment? It's a hard message. Throughout the Bible, there are promises that there will be a day of judgment. The Old Testament calls it the great and terrible day of the Lord. And on that day, you will have to give an account of your life to God. And it will be no good on that day saying, I knew John Watts and he will give me a good reference. Because I'll be there facing God's judgment too. Each one of us. In fact, it will be worse for me because I won't just have to give an account for my life. I shall have to give an account for how I've led and shepherded you lot. So you better pray for me. I'm going to need it. It won't be any good on that judgment day saying, well, my mum, my granny was a real Christian and she prayed for me. Because they will be there too. And they will have to give an account for their lives. It won't be good, any good going to, good saying on that day I went to church or I helped out at food bank or I put £5 in the basket every Sunday. Because going to church and doing good works won't save you. The only thing that will save you on that final judgment day, the only thing that will matter is, did you believe in Jesus? Did you hear his words and put them into practice in your life? Did you dig deep down into God's word, into Jesus, and build your life upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ? That's the only thing that will make the difference. If you have, your house, your life will remain standing strong on that great and terrible day of judgment. Praise God. Amen? Jesus will be your advocate. You will be judged as forgiven and free. You will inherit eternal life. You will be part of the new heavens and the new earth that is prophesied in the Bible. You will be acquitted because Jesus paid the price and the punishment for your sin. That's what we've been singing about. That's the basis of our worship and our praise of God. You will inherit God's kingdom because you are a child of God. Because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, praise God, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But if you've heard the words of Jesus, and even if you've called him Lord, Lord, and he said this elsewhere, didn't he? But have not put into practice his words, not followed and obeyed him. If you've founded your life on money or education or your own ideas, you've built your life on sand, and your house and your life will come crashing down, and you will face the full judgment of God, because you will have no one to pay the price and the penalty for your sin. No savior, no forgiveness, no advocate to plead your case. You will experience the full penalty of sin, the wrath and judgment and condemnation of God, which is hell itself. So Jesus is giving an enormous warning in this parable. It matters what you build your life on. It really does, folks. It matters not just for this life. It matters eternally what you build your life on. Your eternal destiny depends on not just hearing the words of Jesus, not just saying, Lord, Lord, but putting into practice the word of God in your lives. It means that we need to respond to Jesus' urgent message. What was his message? His first message, Matthew 4:17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is Jesus saying there? You need to do something. Because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is coming, folks. It's at hand. It's in front of us. Therefore, respond, because I have come to save you from your sins. I've come to redeem you. I've come to pay the penalty and the price for your sin. But you do need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It means turning away from sin. It means putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. As we were hearing last Sunday from the three who spoke, putting our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. It means living out a life of obedience. It means living out a life of self-sacrifice. It means living a life of sacrificial service to others. It means sharing the good news of Jesus with others, so that others can share and start to build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. So as I finish, what are you building your life on? Will you build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and his word by repenting of your sin, by repenting of building your life on other things? Will you put your belief and trust in Jesus? Will you put into practice the words of Jesus by living the Christian life in obedience to him? And I just invite us just to close our eyes. And if you want to respond to Jesus today, if you want to start building on that solid rock of Jesus Christ, if you want Jesus to be your savior, your advocate, If you want him to pay the price and the punishment for your sin on that final judgment day, I just invite you just stand where you are. Other people have got their eyes closed. Just stand if you just want to respond and say, yes, I want to build my life on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't stand, just put up your hand. But just stand and say, I want to build my life on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to follow and serve him. Father God, Lord, I praise you, Lord, for those who are standing. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you call us to respond to you. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, as people are responding here today, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would empower them by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to be mightily at work in each of our lives and in those, Lord, who are standing. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, as they stand here today, and Lord, others, Lord, who may not have been brave enough to stand, Lord, I pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would enable them to follow Jesus, to choose Jesus, to build their life upon Jesus and the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Lord, that you would help them and empower them to put into practice the words of Jesus. Lord, that you would empower them to live lives of denying themselves, taking up their cross, and following Jesus, Lord, I pray. Lord, come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit.